Mm-hmm. It's hard to attain Fred Rogers.
Oh, I mean, yeah, yeah,
wanted,
yeah.
If you wanted to say Saint was beyond that, then yeah. Fred Rogers is still hard to attain.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And today we'll be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod? I got nothing.
Neighbor-pod?
Sure.
Let's do a neighbor-pod.
Neighbor-pod.
Neighbor-pod of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers. I'm going to stop pretending like I don't know what happened in real life, and I mean, actually, that's the wrong way to say it. I'm going to stop saying that I don't think something happened in real life anymore.
Yeah.
After Ford v Ferrari, came back and said, "Yeah, all that stuff that you thought was weird actually happened." I'm just, you know, we're here in biopic territory again, although not a true biopic.
No, which is much appreciated. Okay with this.
Yes, me too, because when the trailers for this came out, I thought, oh, okay, well, we're just going to have another, you know, here's a Fred Rogers and all the stuff that he did, and it's going to be like Forrest Gump, but with Fred Rogers.
Which seemed kind of silly since we had just gotten that documentary like a year or two previous. Now, granted, more people are going to go see this than they would the documentary, so I get why they would make that, but was very pleasantly surprised that this wasn't anything that I expected it to be.
Yeah, exactly. I really did just think, I thought this was almost going to be Sully-esque, that, you know, it would just be a part of Fred Rogers' life.
Yeah.
And he's interviewing him, and like, you know, he's telling all these stories about things that he did and all that, and it's really not that at all. We have Matthew Reese, who everybody knows from The Americans, I guess. Yes. I've never seen the show.
I think I saw maybe a couple episodes early on, but I've never just sat down and watched it. I know I need to.
I've just now invited everybody on Facebook to tell me that I need to watch The Americans because I know that it's a great show. But I haven't seen it. He's on it. He plays Lloyd Vogel, a writer for Esquire.
Yep.
And sort of at a, I guess he's at a crossroads somewhat. He's just had a kid. His sister is getting married for a third time.
Yeah.
And his father has come back, played by Chris Cooper. His father has come back into his life semi-sort of through that wedding.
Yes.
And they are not on speaking terms. There's something that has happened in their past that he's not forgiving him over. Writing wise, it doesn't look like he really, I don't know if he's not inspired or whatever, but Esquire tells him, "You're going after Fred Rogers. You're going to talk to Fred Rogers." I don't know what the reasoning is. It sounds almost like maybe it's because everybody he's ever interviewed, they've come off looking bad or something.
Yeah. That was part of what the editor says, because they, she says they're doing a profile on heroes, and he was apparently the only one that would agree to be interviewed by him.
Mm-hmm. And he's tasked to do a 400-word article.
Yeah, it's a puff piece.
Which somewhere along the line turns into a much bigger thing.
It does.
And I don't know if I heard the reasoning behind that in the movie, but it starts off as a 400-word thing, and then it's a big, huge...
Yeah, and I mean, I think, and they kind of showed this a little bit in the trailer, I think he's having a really hard time believing that Fred Rogers is who he says he is. And
yeah,
so
he's lobbied for it.
He wants to dig a little deeper, and then, I mean, I will say that is one thing. The movie, there is one scene with him and his editor where she's like, you know, she's like, no, you're just doing this. This is just a little piece that just needs to be in here. And we don't see much about it after that, but he clearly goes and takes his own initiative after that point and does his own thing with it.
Yeah, there's a part in there towards the end of his initial visit where he sees Fred Rogers doing one of his many voices through the puppets that he's doing on the show. and you can, and it's a great little scene where the camera is just focused on Hanks while he does this, and he's just completely into his character and everything, and doing this the whatever way he wants to, and that's when the writer's looking at him like, is this for real? Is this really the thing? And that's why he comes back and asks his editor about doing a bigger thing, I guess.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It's basically that. And so Mr. Rogers is known to many of us as this ultra positive, everything is sort of okay. You know, he always gave great messages about your life and taught you that at a young age.
Yeah. And wasn't afraid to tackle, stuff like death and divorce and, he tackled a lot of subjects like that on his show, which, I mean, as a kid, I don't know that I really realized that. But as an adult looking back, you're just like, wow, that's insane that, you know, he was able to do that. And he did it well.
Yeah. And in this case, it's he's working his magic on an adult, a full blown adult. Like, you may think that there's nothing to learn anymore, but, you know, this is what. You know, this is what the relationship is between these two. And it's, you know, that's the story. Essentially, the main character is Lloyd Vogel. It's not Fred Rogers.
Exactly. And they let you know that pretty early. I mean, early on, I mean, the opening thing is Mr. Rogers' show, and he's going to tell you the story about him meeting Lloyd and what that has, you know, like how that affected how he helped Lloyd.
Yeah. I guess before we get into spoilers, what is your grade?
So this movie could have really gone two ways. Like, this movie could have been super schmaltzy, or it could have been really, really cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And it somehow finds that middle ground. I thought this was pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
And I don't know, some of that might have been, it wasn't what I was expecting. So I was a little overjoyed that it wasn't just like a straight up biopic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really, really liked this movie. I mean, I'm going to give it an A.
Okay, great. I'm going to give it a B+. Yeah. I don't know what would make it an A for me.
Yeah.
Because it's essentially around that area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I felt like there was something lacking and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah.
But I really like this too. I think this is, you're right. This could have been a real cynical type movie and,
especially today, like in today's age, like this could have been super cynical it is at times. I mean, Lloyd is definitely a very cynical person, but somehow it finds that middle ground. I don't know how to explain how it does it, but it does.
I guess part of me feels like that if you take the Fred Rogers out of the equation, we've seen this movie before, maybe.
Yeah.
Even it's funny, there are some certain elements of the movie Nothing in Common in this.
Yes, I could see that.
Not that Lloyd Vogel is like going around sleeping with like tons of women but the idea that he's got this father he's estranged from, the father cheated on his, you know, his mom and all that.
Yeah, and left them
and all these things. We've seen, and Nothing in Common obviously isn't the only one that's ever done that either. But, you know, it's just like I feel like I've seen this sort of family drama before. When you insert Fred Rogers into it, there's a certain magical quality to it that they're adding. But it's still the same kind of movie. But anyway, I give it a B+. I think it's solid. I think it's very good.
For sure. Yeah.
Let's get on to spoilers.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
Yeah, again, much like many stories based in real life, there's not much to spoil about this, but we've already discussed the fact that he's not really the main character. Fred Rogers is not the main character, but there are a lot of great and effective scenes. I love the scene with him trying to put up the tent.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
And he can't get it open, and he says, sometimes, you know, your plans don't work out. And he goes over, and they look at the footage, and they said, well, what do you want to do? You want to set up the tent?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's fine the way it is. And he I think Vogel is like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
He's like, because you kids have to learn that there's sometimes even when you make a plan, it doesn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, even adults have these problems.
Yeah.
I love that scene a lot.
I agree. No, I totally agree that. And that might've even been, cause I think that's, that might've been around where I'm like, okay, this is doing something different than, mm-hmm. than I thought it was going, you know, this is going in a different direction than I thought it was going to go. But yeah, no, that's a perfect scene. And I think, Tom Hanks, this is one of those performances where, I don't know, maybe some people will think it's almost just like an impression, but I think it's a good performance. Like, I think it's, we're probably going to hear a lot about it. I mean, I can't imagine he's not going to at least be in Oscar talks.
Yeah.
And he very well might win. You know, depending on what else comes out this year. And I don't even know what he would be, supporting or lead or whatever. But
at the beginning of the movie, I felt like it was a bit affected because he's doing that thing where Mr. Rogers would enunciate every single syllable of everything.
Yeah.
You know, why are you hurting?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. You know, and so like, it sounds like that at first, but as the movie goes on, it just feels like that's him.
Yeah, you just, and one thing, like, I never once, like, I definitely got, I never thought, like, oh, that's just Tom Hanks. Like, I mean, maybe at the beginning, just because, like, they open it up on the opening of the show. And so he's basically recreating the opening of the show, which also, every time I see Mr. Rogers, I this is horrible, but I can't not think about Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know.
doing Mr. Robinson's neighborhood on Saturday Night Live. Because as an adult, I think about that more probably than I do the show. Because honestly, like, I watched the show, but, like, it wasn't something I carried with me. I don't have memories of episodes.
Yeah, me either.
I know it's something I watched because it was on, you know, when I was a kid.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it used to come on after Sesame Street back in our day.
That sounds right.
And who knows, it may always have done that, but it seemed like Sesame Street would play, and then right after that you'd have Mr. Rogers.
And I'm curious how many, like, younger people even know who he is. I don't believe it's still shown as reruns.
Not that I'm aware of,
but and obviously he died, I believe, in 2003,
mm-hmm.
of stomach cancer, of all things, which is horrible.
Yeah.
So obviously the show hasn't been shot for a while, at least not new episodes.
Yeah.
So I am really curious to see how many people even know, but not that I don't know that a lot of younger people are going to be watching this movie, but I'm just, you know, that's just one of those things that kind of was popping up in my head. Like, how relevant is he today?
Yeah, he's relevant in the way that we wonder whatever happened to somebody like that. Like, we need somebody like that in this day and age, but
absolutely.
He is sort of, they try to do this thing in the movie where his wife is like, don't make him a saint because, you know, it makes it, I'm trying to remember why.
It makes it like not an attainable goal. Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You couldn't be like him if he was a saint.
And the problem is that even though she says that, and even though you could take that philosophy, there's nothing other to think about him other than he's a saint.
Yeah.
Yes. They allude to him getting angry or whatever. That would have been nice to actually see.
It would have been. I mean, we do get to see, because she would, is that the scene where, I believe that's the scene where she makes, yeah, because she's the one that tells him that he just has ways he deals with his anger. He swims and, you know, and then he even brings up stuff like, you know, banging the keys on the piano and, you know, stuff like that just kind of, you know, help you get through that. And we see a little bit of him doing those things, but yeah, we definitely never see him just lose his cool.
Yeah, it's almost like the movie itself doesn't want to dive into that because it feels like it's getting into territory it doesn't feel it has the right to touch, or, you know, I don't know what it is. But it would have been nice to see that and to see how he deals with it.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it may not be this for this movie.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point, too. And also, that's another interesting thing about Tom Hanks' performance and why I really, really liked it, because it must have been really difficult for him, because he has to stay I mean, he stays at the exact same level.
Yeah.
The entire movie, like his delivery, you know, every, and it's not even monotone. I mean, there's affection there,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, he never wavers. Like he never goes up a level. He never goes down a level. There's that one moment towards the end where he starts banging on the keys.
Yeah.
And even then, he still has this look on his face, like mm-hmm. he's happy as can be.
Yeah, he's happy. He's happy to see people in a way that probably none of us are happy to see. Like for some celebrities, if you were to be on a, you were on a subway and people started singing,
yeah.
and stuff, you might feign some sort of excitement about that, yeah. just to shine them on and everything, but he seems genuinely happy
yeah.
that they're doing
yeah.
this.
Yeah, and it's unreal.
And everything's just, to him, is just some sort of, oh, well, that's something that happens in life, and I love it, and everything. It would be nice if we could all attain that, but it is sort of impossible. Let's say he's not even a saint. Mm-hmm. It's hard to attain Fred Rogers.
Oh, I mean, yeah, yeah,
wanted,
yeah.
If you wanted to say Saint was beyond that, then
yeah.
Fred Rogers is still hard to attain.
And, I mean, and he's, you know, he's a guy, he raised two children, and, you know, and he's married, and, I mean, he's done all these, you know, these things, these achieved all these things that, you know, most people do, and he's still been able just to stay the same, you know, like he keeps that path. And they even have the conversation at one point where he's like, it must be really hard being your sons.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes through that whole bit about, you know, one of his kids wouldn't even acknowledge that was his dad, or wouldn't tell people
yeah.
that was his dad, you know, until recently. And then the other one tested him, you know, constantly. And then he's like, but finally, you know, we figured it out.
Yeah.
And we made it work. And there's even this whole bit they just kind of throw in where, and I didn't know about this, where the show, he decided to stop doing the show.
Yeah, in the 70s.
Because he just felt like there wasn't anything more he could give.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of allude to, they weren't doing great financially. And then he felt like he could actually contribute a little more. So he decided to do it again. And then, of course, it lasted for, you know, 20 years or whatever, 20 mm-hmm. plus years. Because at this point, I believe it's 98. I know at one point they say it's 1998.
Yeah, this is where he's, where Lloyd's getting his award or something.
Yeah, that's right.
It says 1998.
And that's another interesting thing about this movie, because this is the late 90s and it's all about a magazine. And mm-hmm. I mean, the movie definitely doesn't beat you over the head, but they do show you some stuff early on. Like they kind of use the Mr. Rogers show to do this, where you show, like, they show how the magazine's made and all that kind of stuff. And then there's a little bit where he's given his speech about winning the award, about what writing for a magazine does for you. And it's just interesting now, because magazines are not really, I mean, they still exist,
mm-hmm.
but we're not in the, it's not the same type of, like, we're not reading as many magazines as we did. Like, that was probably kind of towards the end of it,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to get, like, the internet's really booming at that point. And that's just not necessarily a profession that is the same now as it was then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the movie's trying to say something there. And that's another area where maybe it could have done a little more, but maybe it's not needed for this movie. But I don't know. I found that interesting. And I thought that was effective. Like you said, that probably had to do with the Matthew Rhys character, just having all these different things he was dealing with. And just trying to, I don't know, he's just trying to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of what this movie is about.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Yes, it's like the story, aside from Fred Rogers, he's getting sort of this indirect therapy from Fred Rogers all the way through it. But his story is he's just had a kid with his wife is played by Susan Kelechi Wilson, mm-hmm. Watson.
Yeah, most people probably know her from This Is Us.
Yeah, it could be Kelechi, I don't know, but he's married to her. It starts off with this wedding with his sister, played by Tammy Blanchard. Is that's who it is, right? It's Tammy Blanchard that plays his wife.
His
sister.
Lorraine, yes.
Yeah. She's getting married for the third time. His dad, Chris Cooper, shows up, and he's drunk, and they get in a fight right off the bat because he says something about his mom, and he just brings his mom up. That was a hokey thing for me at the beginning because he brings up the mom and he goes, don't you talk about mom.
And then we don't know anything about it yet.
And then
either,
immediately he's punching him like within 5 seconds of it. He's dealing with that, but then it looks like Jerry is his name. Jerry is trying to get back into his life, and I think it's because he is sick. He knows he's sick, he's having a very hard time because what he did was he left. He cheated on his wife while she was sick. Left Lloyd to do it on his own, left to deal with it his own. Yeah. And he just basically left the entire family for this other woman for years.
Yeah. And then the sister seems like she's willing to at least have conversations with him, but Lloyd's not, which is, understandable.
Yeah.
So then the movie kind of goes through that part at the beginning.
Yeah. And so there's a big moment also where Jerry gets super sick and is sick enough to have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And Lloyd is still writing his article and he decides to just leave his dad and leave his wife with his dad essentially and say, I'm going to finish this writing. And she goes, you can do this anytime. This may be it. This is not the time for you to do this.
Yeah.
And he goes anyway. So it's a big, huge turning point for him, to a learning experience for him once he comes back into it.
And that's another moment where the movie really lets you know that it's just going to kind of be at its own pace and it's going to do whatever it wants to do, because that's the whole bit where he thinks he sees Fred Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been in New York, and so he thinks he sees him going back to Pittsburgh, so he thinks he's following him. And then I never really quite understood, like, there's this whole bit where, like, Lloyd gets to the studio, and they're like, oh, you're on the show today.
Yeah, I think it's a big dream sequence, right?
Yeah, it's got to be, right? I mean, they don't, like, because he ends up at Fred Rogers' house, though. That part wasn't a dream.
I don't know. I felt like we know at least one part of it was.
Oh, for sure, because he's supposed to be one of the puppets or whatever.
Although, maybe that was some sort of special effect thing that they could do back in that day where they could miniaturize somebody on.
Maybe.
I don't know. I took that whole thing as like a dream sequence. Maybe that it was something that happened. And again, I don't want to speculate on it because
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
You're right. He is at his house later.
Yeah, because he comes down and they're Fred Rogers and his wife, or they're playing pianos.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're like dueling pianos.
Yeah.
It's just, and you're just like sitting there going like, yeah, that's probably what was going on at the Rogers household most days.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But Matthew Reese is really good.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
And like I said, I don't have a lot of experience with him because, like you, I just haven't watched The Americans. I'm sure there's things he's been in that I've seen that I'm just, you know.
Yeah. I kept thinking, I've seen this guy somewhere. And then I find out that the main thing he's been in is The Americans. So I was like, well, what is the one thing that's making me, what makes me think I've seen him before? I mean, I'm sure I've seen, like, commercials.
Previews, yeah.
But, like, you know, there seems like there's something that I've seen him in. And I just, that was one thing that kept going through my head.
And he's, interestingly enough, he's going to be playing, they're doing an HBO Perry Mason series. And he's going to be playing Perry Mason. And considering it's HBO, I'm actually really curious about that. And he was really good in this. But I think he does. I think he gives a really good performance. I think it's very effective. And I think it is a role that could have been very generic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he probably gives it a little more heft. I also think the directing is really good in this movie, too, which I have not seen either one of her other movies. But the director was Marielle Heller,
mm-hmm.
and she did Diary of a Teenage Girl, which was not a big hit, but I think critically acclaimed back in, you know, a few years ago. And then she did last year's Can You Ever Forgive Me with Melissa McCarthy, which is supposed to be excellent.
Yeah, and she has 10 credits as an actress as well. She was in MacGruber.
Oh, nice.
I never saw Walk Among the Tombstones, but she's in that.
Oh, wow.
And she's
I did
also
see that.
In the pop star Never Stop, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Well, holy hell. I've seen this. I've seen a lot of her acting career, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I just don't. Yeah. I don't recall the characters, but yeah, this is a good movie. Did you see the documentary?
I did not. Well, that's not completely true. I don't think I've watched it all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never just sat down and watched it. I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good.
Yeah.
But I think going back to what we were originally talking about and how this movie is so different from what it could have been and everything. This is a great compliment to the documentary. It's not, you know, it's not trying to be that documentary like we've said.
Yeah, and I think that was something, you know, we were both a little concerned about, because I totally get why financially they would make this movie, because mm-hmm. it's probably going to do really well, and it's obviously going to do better than a documentary, because just not that many people are going to go watch a documentary. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
However sad that might be to some people. So I get why they would make it, but... I'm just happy to know it's very different. And like, yeah, you could definitely watch like both of these together and you're going to get two completely different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But they both do a good job of just showing, just like what an amazing person Fred Rogers was, what an amazing effect he could have on somebody's life. And then they somehow do that in a very nonsensical and at least as far as I'm, what I got out of it,
there was no cynicism in this movie.
I guess you could argue that some of it was cheesy, but like, I don't know. I didn't really feel the schmaltz. Like, I didn't feel like anything was being forced on me.
Yeah,
it
just
felt
feels
very
like,
natural.
Well, I think it's because that character, quote unquote, of Fred Rogers is such that character. That it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like, you know, they're just, you know, it doesn't feel like they're setting this up in some sort of way to where it comes off false. This is exactly who he is. It's exactly what we're seeing in front of us. That's the reason why it works.
And I mentioned the pace earlier and talking about the directing, and I kind of felt it was interesting because afterwards I kind of thought back about this, and I thought that, like, you know, like Fred Rogers is very much a person that was never like, he's not in a hurry. There's a scene early on where... actually, it was right before the tent scene when Lloyd gets to the studio, he's talking to a disabled child. And Lloyd asked the question, is this a Make-A-Wish thing? Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody actually answers that. But
no, I believe that is what they say it is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I knew. So that's what's going on. So he's just, so this isn't part of the show or anything. And the producers are just, you know, they're back there. They're just kind of waiting, like, come on. Like, you mm-hmm. know, and like one of them even asked if they can fire him. You know, kind of, you know, they're being really silly. Because apparently he's put him like an hour behind schedule because he spent like 30 minutes talking to mm-hmm. this kid.
Yeah.
When he was just supposed to do like a little meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that shows how great the person is. But also I think it kind of establishes that this movie is just going to let the story unfold at a natural pace. And this movie isn't really long either, I must say.
No, it's an hour and 45 minutes.
But it definitely, like, it's not rushing to do anything. Like, it's very much just going to let the story play how it should. And I kind of felt that correlated well with the character of Fred Rogers. Because even before he does the tent, he's like, you know, do you guys know what this is? And then it's Lloyd. Because then he sees, you know, he sees Matthew Reese standing over there. And I think that might even be when she says, you know, can we fire him?
Is the that Make-A-Wish thing, too, is great. Because you can also see how the parents are, at least the dad seems a little impatient with his kid in that thing. And his kid is like got... I don't know if it's an oxygen tank, but he's obviously unwell. And everything. And he's, and Mr. Rogers is just sitting there just kind of talking to him and like, whatever you want to do. And the kid eventually goes over there and hugs him
and
everything. It's a great scene. But the other thing about that scene is he goes, does this happen often? And the producer is like, every day. So,
and then also I wanted to mention Colantoni. Colantoni is in it. He plays, he's not his publicist. They said, what did they say? They got him. He worked in the White House or something.
He's a publicist or he's an agent, or I don't even know if he needed an agent. But yeah, he's something like that.
I got the impression that when, because I think the wife, Joanne Rogers, she's talking to Lloyd at one point, and she says like they plunked him from like a senator or something.
Okay,
I got the impression he was there more or less like he was someone that could keep things moving and could keep Fred protected and just make sure that, like, because Fred clearly is going to do what he wants to do. So I guess maybe that he was someone that could actually kind of keep him in line and, yeah, you know, whatever they had to do that day, like if they had a meet and greet or if they had to film a on location or whatever. But he's not in it that much. But as always, he's very effective just because he's such a good character actor.
Yeah.
He's like a Richard Schiff kind of guy.
Yeah. Colin, I don't know if it's Colin Tony or Colin Tony, but he, if you're familiar, he's on Veronica Mars. He plays Veronica Mars' dad.
Yeah.
And he's on Galaxy Quest. Yeah,
Just Shoot Me was, I think, the first place I ever saw him. Mm-hmm. He played like a photographer or something on that show.
Yeah. In Galaxy Quest, he's playing that main alien guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is great. I love seeing him pop up in movies randomly like
that.
Yeah,
I do too. Yeah, he's like I said, he's kind of like that. I don't know. But he's always fun to see. So it's a really good cast. I mean, Christine Leahy's in it too. She plays his boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wendy McKenna plays Chris Cooper's girlfriend. Or why? Are they married? I can't even remember if they're there.
I don't know. Yeah. I think they said engaged but at one point.
Yeah, they've been together for a long time.
Yeah, 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So
Christine Lotti is one of those actors that's, I think, legendary amongst other actors and everything, yeah, but like not very many people, like outside of the acting, you're not going to hear people on the street go, Christine Lotti.
Yeah,
great. But she's awesome. She's one of those like actors.
Yeah, she's great. And the thing I remember her from, we were talking earlier, although I said ER incorrectly, it was Chicago Hope. But yeah, I just remember like in the 90s, like she was always one of those, like, whenever the Emmys got announced, mm-hmm, it was very common for her to be nominated or to win, you know? So, it's a really nice cast. It's a really nice movie, and it is possible that like when I watch it again, maybe I'll go down a little bit.
Yeah.
But at least for right now, seeing it once, seeing it last night, it was like, and I even tweeted last night, like, I didn't know how much I needed this to see this movie, because
mm-hmm,
it just really does put you, I mean, it is kind of sad, but it does put you in a mood that is sadly not as common on an everyday basis, and not to get too much into all that. And I'm not even talking about outside. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on within just the movie world, mm-hmm, that's hard to not be cynical about.
Yeah.
So just to see a movie that wears its heart on its sleeve like this, and it's not afraid to do that,
mm-hmm,
is crazy. Like, you just don't see stuff like this anymore.
It's very true, and may never again, because it's hard to have these kind of people show up and are in the public eye,
yeah,
and can have that kind of reach and everything. I'm sure there are people like Fred Rogers out there. They're just not in the public
eye. Well, and I mean, Tom Hanks is actually probably a close copy of that. As far as our actors today and mm-hmm stuff, I'm not saying like he's never done a show like Mr. Rogers, but I'm just saying he's kind of become like, at least we don't know of anything he's done, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, he seems like a pretty straightforward guy. He seems like a really good guy. And we just don't have that many actors like him anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's in his 60s.
Yeah.
You know, so
I don't know if this podcast will come out after the main Sincast or before, but I do think it is funny. I've mentioned this on this one that's coming up released yet, but it might be released by the time this one is released. That it is funny that in The Burbs, there's a scene where he's on the bed watching TV and Mr. Rogers is on.
Oh, I just totally forgot about that. That's right.
I think it's really cool that stuff like that. I don't even know if you go back to 1989, did they choose that because Hanks was a particular Mr. Rogers fan?
Yeah.
Or was it just a random thing that happened and now 30 years later he's playing Mr. Rogers?
Because I think he also watches like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, he does.
Too.
Yes. He does.
But no, yeah, you're right. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, Mr. Rogers is one of those shows that would pop up. It's in Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember like when they're fighting over what channel they're going to watch on the TV. I mean, mm-hmm, it was a very common, just everybody knew who Mr. Rogers was, especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
And probably 70s. But I'm glad that there's going to be a lot of people that maybe don't know who he is or don't have a lot of association with him that are going to watch this. I don't know. Like, I mean, we're just on Friday recording this, so it just came out last night. It's going up against Frozen 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling this is going to make some money. Like, I think this is going to do pretty well.
Yeah, you have a nice little holiday movie here, essentially. I mean, it's nice. You can take the family to it. I don't think there is one swear word in this movie.
I mean, it's not really violent. I mean, there is, like, we talked about the fight with Lloyd and his dad, and it does deal a lot with, you know, sickness and things like that. But no, I think this would be great for... especially if you have older kids.
I think if they end up making like 60, 70 million on this, they'll be happy with that.
And I would
that
think
sounds,
so.
That sounds like around the ballpark of where I would put this, at least domestically. And I don't know how Mr. Rogers plays worldwide either. So
yeah, I don't know.
It may not be much more than that.
Because if I remember correctly, the documentary did pretty well. Like, I mean, for a documentary, you know, it didn't. So, I mean, if you translate that to a movie with Tom Hanks, and getting a big holiday release. Are you looking that up?
Yeah,
I'm curious to know, actually.
Yeah, I mean, documentaries don't make much.
Exactly.
So, it made $22 million. That's a good documentary.
Oh yeah, that's actually pretty exceptional.
Yeah, and worldwide it made $22 million. So
okay.
it didn't go beyond America. It doesn't appear like
gotcha.
It doesn't appear. But anyway, so yeah, this is good. I would say if you're a big Mr. Rogers person, you want to see something really positive in your life, go and watch this movie. It's good. I don't think there's any. Yeah, I mean, unless you just really hate movies that just you know, oh my God, he's so nice. How is he so nice? What an asshole. You know, that's the only way you could hate this movie.
I agree. I totally agree.
So, all right. Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. If you want to talk about this, you can also go to SoundCloud, Reddit. We have a Discord. We have CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. Jonathan?
Yeah, you can talk to me on Twitter at SamLoomis13. We also do have TV Sins Twitter, and you can hear me every week on Behind the Sins with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.